Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Avodah Zarah Lamed Zayin. We are holding six lines off the top of the Amud. We begin with a story, Mistameich V'Azel. So Rabbi Nasiya was walking along and leaning Akatvei on the shoulder of his assistant, whose name was Rabbi Simloi, who was Shamei, who was his servant. So they're walking along, and he turns to his helper, Amalei. He says, he called him Simloi. Simloi, you missed a great session yesterday in the Beis HaMedrash. Amalei, Simloi, lo yisa emesh. V'Beis HaMedrash, you were not present in the Beis HaMedrash when we came up with a grand chiddush kishitarnu sashemen. We actually permitted the use of non-Jewish oils. So, in fact, we rescinded. We were mevatel the earlier gezeira, the earlier iser established by Talmidei Hillel v'Shamayim, as the Gemara actually discussed yesterday in great length. So this is what happened yesterday. You missed it. Amar loy. So Rabbi Simloi responded to Rabbi Denasiya, you know, once you're at it, why don't you permit the non-Jewish bread as well? Amar loy b'yameinu. I wish that in our days, tater af esapas, you should permit bread as well. And Tosfos brings earlier, apparently it wasn't so widespread, it wasn't so widely implemented, very similar to what happened with the oil. It was established as a gzera, but it wasn't really so successful. So just like you rescinded the Isser from the Shemen Akum, hopefully one day you'll do the same with Pas Akum. Omar Leisa, Rabbi Nasir responded, you know, perhaps it's a good idea, but we can't. I can't take the risk of doing so, because then they'll label us as a bezin who's always looking to be lenient, to make a heterim, matir asurim, right? And we're going to lose our credibility. Imkain, because if we proceed and permit that as well, korolan, they'll call us, they'll give us a label, beidina the Sharia, a permissive bezin, the snan. How do we know that's a concern? Because we have a Mishnah. Heid, Rabbi Yosef ben Ye'ezer, his trader, so this Tana, testified regarding three leniencies. Number one, al ayil kamtza, regarding a certain grasshopper. Dochein, it's toher. Toher here is a term for mutter. Toher and mutter go together. It's a toher species, you're allowed to go eat this grasshopper. It's one of those that are mutter. Val mashk basement bachaya, dochein. Likewise, regarding the liquids, water, whatever that's found in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMitbachayim, this butcher area of the Beis HaMikdash, it's also dochein, which means to say it's not susceptible to tumah. In order to preserve, you know, purity in the Beis HaMikdash, Chachamim did not apply tumah status to those liquids, as we're going to see later in the Gemara. So that's the next leniency. And then number three, actually, it doesn't appear like a leniency, but the Gemara later will discuss why exactly it's considered a kula. So, v'al diyikrav lemesav, if one comes into contact with a dead person, misav, he contracts the tumah from the mace. So these are three kulois, three leniencies, and guess what? They labeled him, v'korolein, they called him Yosef, the mater, sharia. So I don't want to run the risk of being called based in sharia. Let's just keep it at the at that. Let's keep it with the oil. Let's not expand it to the bread. Amalei, he says, what's the concern? How do you compare yourself, who were only matter one thing, to Yosef ben Ye'ezer, who was matter three things? How could you compare one to three? Amalei hasam sharat las. Yeah, there, he was matter three things. So he earned that label. Umar sharachad, but you were only matter one thing. So what's the big deal to add another one? If you go and you add another heter, if you rescind the Isra from the pass, it's still going to be just two. Akati Tarti Hudavyan. It's only two. Amalei says, actually, at this point, we already issued two heterim. Amalei Ano. Nami Shara Yachriti. There's another case that we issued a heter upon, in which case adding a third to the list makes it problematic. So what exactly is that other leniency that he's talking about? It's none. It's actually halacha related to gittin, to a get. So we know only a live person can issue a get, but not once he passes away. So here comes a case, this nun. Let's say he says to the isha, Zagitech. He gives the get to his wife, and you are hereby divorced if im loy basi mekana ashne masar chodesh, if I don't return within 12 months. And what happened was, he died within that 12-month period, umeis, besech shne masar chodesh. Ain't a get. The get is not valid. Why? Because, look, if he would have conditioned it, had he have said, it's all about semantics. Sometimes, you know, it could be a difference of a word or two. It changes the whole equation. If he would say, look, this is your get, active immediately on condition that I do not return within 12 months. So if he doesn't make it back, when is the divorce implemented? From now, from today. So although we have to wait it out, but that condition is just sort of a revelation. It just reveals to us what's going to happen retroactively. So if he dies within 12 months, it would work because it's chal lemafreya. It gets applied, it gets activated retroactively from today when you're still alive. On the other hand, if you would say, look, here's your get, and it's only going to be implemented in 12 months if I don't come back, and he dies within that time, of course it can't work. Because it can only become active at the 12-month mark. Unfortunately, it's past his passing. He's amazed. Amazed can't be Mekanish. However, let's say he uses some sort of language which is arbitrary. It can be interpreted both ways. That's going to be the question. Like here, Zegitech im leibasi. Here's your get if I don't return. Does that mean when I don't return? Or no, it's just a condition. And if that condition is met, if he doesn't make it back, the get will be activated retroactively, prior to his death, while he's still alive, in which case it's a valid get. So there's two ways to look at it. So the Mishnah takes a strict approach. Ain't a get, it doesn't work. We consider it like he said, when I don't return. Well, guess what? He died before he had a chance to come back. He died before the 12-month period expired, in which case the get was never implemented during his lifetime, so it doesn't work. V'tani Allah. But it was said on this Mishnah. There was an added part to this Mishnah. There was an added element that there are those who disagree. But Rabbi Yisenu, our teachers, the Amiroim later on, they allowed her to marry. They consider the get valid. And the question was asked, who are these Rabbi Yisenu? Man Rabbi Yisenu. Am Rabbi Yisenu Shmuel, guess what? It's our Bezdin. Av Rabbi Danasi, who permitted the oil. Based, you know, the Shoro that allowed, that permitted Mishcha, the oil. What was their rationale? To validate the get? Because they hold it's like a Tanai. It's like, I want it to happen now on condition that I do not return within 12 months. So if he doesn't come back, the get is chal retroactively. What do you mean? But he never said almanas. He never said that it's a condition. The answer is sovereignly. They hold Karabiyasi Shita, who says, the Omar, Zmano Yishol Shtar Mechiyach Alav. Why did he record today's date on this divorce document? What's the purpose of it? If it's only going to be implemented later when he doesn't come. The fact that there's a date and today's date on the star indicates to us that this is really what his intention was. He wanted it to be initiated today on condition that I do not return within 12 months, and he didn't come back within 12 months. He died along the way. So it works retroactively. Vamar Baba, Breid Rachia Bar Abba, Rabbi Danasi Hoira. In fact, Rabbi Danasi was the one who ruled that the get is valid. And throughout his lifetime, his colleagues did not agree with him. Rami Lassam say, Kol Siyata, his group, his colleagues, basically, it was an isolated, you know, opinion. The others disagreed. So here's the other heter that was issued by the same Bezdin. And that's why he was concerned about being matur a third item, lest he be labeled and lose his credibility. Amar le Rabbi Lazar, lahu saba. So Rabbi Lazar asked this elder, this older man, who was present at that time when the Bezdin of Rabbi Danasi was matur this isha, I have a question for you. Kisha Risua, when you allowed her to remarry, when you validated the get la'alter Risua, was it effective immediately? The also, he's not coming back anymore. So you don't have to wait for a 12-month period to expire. If he died 6 months later, it's done. He's not coming back. He's not going to violate that condition. He can't. He can't come back. So she can go get married right away. Or you can say, no, you still have to wait it out. Wait until the 12-month period expires. Adimu la'achash nemas ha'chodesh. Because at that point, it is a full fulfillment of the condition, the hoyikayim leitnoi, because the Yud Beis Chodesh is up. Interesting, Tosfos asked, I mean, he's not coming back. Well, why do you have to wait for 12 months to ensure that the condition is going to be met? He's not coming back. He passed away 6 months later. Says Tosfos, you're right. Strictly speaking, it would be okay, but there's a concern that if we allow it in this case, it might lead to be implemented in a different case as well. In the case where he didn't die, we just happened not to come back. It's 6 months later. You haven't heard from him. Oh, okay. We'll just let her, remarry. So to avoid any confusion, perhaps in all cases you have to wait it out until the Yud Beis Chodesh is up, and then allow it to remarry. So that was the question he asked this older man, who was present when the Bezdin issued this ruling, and were matir this, and were machshir the get. Again, we're speaking about a case where he gave it the get today. Here's your get, here's your divorce, your megereshes, if I do not return within 12 months, and he died 6 months later. They're going to Rabbi Yossi, the zman, the date on the shtar indicates that it's being initiated today on condition that I do not, and he didn't come back, he died 6 months later. Neged is kosher because it was issued during his lifetime, and it was initiated and activated during his lifetime retroactively. The question just is she allowed to go remarry right away as soon as she hears that he died, or perhaps only after 12 months? Asks the Gemara, why was this a question posed specifically to the Saba, who was there when the Ridanasi was matir this get? A similar question could be posed on a Mishnah. The Mishnah which discusses a case where he clearly stipulated that it's going to be on condition, in which case all agree it works. So the question there is, as well, if he died midway, so the get is going to work. But right now, or do we have to wait it out until the Yud Beis Chodesh is up? The same question could be posed on the Mishnah. In a case where it's universally accepted that the get works. That's not, the Mishnah speaks about a case where he said, there is a get, gitech mi achsha. Here's mefarish. It's going to be happening from now, going forward. Im leibos, if I do not return, mikan, from now, ad Yud Beis Chodesh, until 12 months. And he died within that period. Umeis besoich shtemes achodesh. No problem. Have a get. It works. Why? The hayikayim late tonight. Because the tonight was fulfilled. He didn't make it back within that period. So in this case, all agree it works because of that difference in expression. Because he articulated, may achshav im lebasi, right? It's going to be active from now. It's chal immediately if I do not return. So if he doesn't come back, it's chal lemafreya. It's implemented, and activated retroactively. But the question still remains. Do we have to wait it out until the 12-month period is over, or as soon as she hears that he passed away, he's not coming back? That activates the get retroactively. So again, is it la'alta havegita? Or la'acha yud beis chodesh? You're right, enechanami. The same question could be asked on the Mishnah. The reason why you prefer it, addressing that older person, Elam Shem Dehavias Bo Minyana. So this was, I guess, the Sabbai asking, why are you asking me? You could ask it on the Mishnah. You're right, I chose you because you were there. You have that personal experience. You were there when they had the Minyana, when they took the count, the vote, and concluded to be Matur that, you know, Machsher that get. So perhaps you have first-hand familiarity with this, with the intricacies of this halacha, and that's why I asked you. But there's no response, so it's sort of left unresolved. Will they matter it effective immediately, or only upon the expiration of the 12-month period? Amar Abaye. So Abaye will sort of once again wrap up all the different possibilities and organize it for us. So on the one hand, we have a case, Hakol Moedim, all would agree in this case. Let's say he gives the isha the get. So it's a slightly different variation of the previous scenario. Instead of speaking about returning within 12 months, he said, look, here's your get. When the son leaves its envelope, we need to say, it's going to be yours to keep, it's going to be yours to use. The get will happen when the son rises tomorrow. When is the get chal? Upon sunrise, not a second before. So if he dies midnight, the get cannot take effect. Because he clearly says, when the sun will rise. He said, when the sun will rise. If he dies imminent that night, too bad. The get, which only gets activated tomorrow morning, is past his passing. It's too late for it to work. Get lachamisu. So there's no question, this case it doesn't work. Likewise, in the case of the fellow who spoke about 12 months, if he would clearly say, here's your get, when I don't return, you have to wait it out. And if he died midway, it doesn't work. So that's on the one side of the spectrum, so to speak. Now we move over to the other, shift over to the other extreme side of the spectrum. Suppose he clearly articulates that it's going to be a condition. Almanas, right? Almanas. Here's your get, on condition, shetetzecham natika, the sun will shine tomorrow morning. So when the sun rises, at what point is the get implemented? From now. Right, from the previous day, Ma'akshav Kamarlo. So even if he dies in the middle of that night, it doesn't interfere with the get activation process, which happens retroactively before he passed. V'chimayis below, if he dies midnight, it's certainly okay because it's merely a condition. You have to wait it out, but then it's going to be activated retroactively, in which case it was issued. Mechaimu was get issued during his lifetime. The Rav Huna, he tells us, Kol Ema Almanas, when you say the words Almanas, Kol Ema, it's as though you said Me'akshav Dami, so you said from now on. So even though he didn't say the word Me'akshav, all he said was, here you get, you're divorced, on condition that the sun rises. So as soon as the sun rises tomorrow, the get happened retroactively from the previous day, in which case, even if he died midnight, it's okay. Likewise, in the case of the fellow, previous case, if I don't return within 12 months, if he said it in this manner, here's your get, on condition, then you're okay. So when is the machlekes? Machlekes applies to a case somewhere in the middle. Right? Neither here nor here. Somewhere in the middle. He didn't clearly say conditional. He didn't clearly say when. He used some sort of vague lashon. Machlekes is only Ella, but imtetze. Here's your get if the sun will shine tomorrow. It's the way to look at it. The word im, does it mean when? When it will shine? So you have to wait it out, and if he dies before that, the get is aborted. Or could you say im just means it's conditional? Especially if we have the dating on the star, which indicates to us that it was initiated immediately. Be imtetze. Rabbi Danasi Sav the Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Danasi, who permitted this get, is in line with Rabbi Yosi. Sav the Rabbi Yosi, the Amor, who says Zmanai Shal Shtar Mechayech Allah. The fact that it's dated immediately, dated today, that's Mechayech Allah. That indicates to us that in fact it was to take effect immediately on condition. It's as though he would have said, look, here's your get, mihayayim, starting today if I die, so it's a condition. Or kimi achshav imati, from now if I die. In which case it works, even if he dies. Rabbanon, however, no, less lut, Rabbi Yosi, they don't hold Rabbi Yosi's concept. The presence of the date on the shtar doesn't change the equation. Then it's a confusing scenario. It's like he said, here's your get if I died. What does that mean? Does it mean when I die? Does it mean on condition that I die? We're not sure. So you can't really act upon it. Okay, so this is pretty much, this wraps up the list of two items that were issued by the Bezin of Rabbi Danossi. One was the heter on the shemen, one was the heter on the sket. Now let's go back to the three items issued by Rabbi Yossi ben Yezer. Hey Gufo, hey Yossi ben Yezer Ishtreda. So he testified on three things. Al-Ail Kamtza Dochein, this specific grasshopper is Dochein, is kosher to eat. Number two, Al-Mashke Beis Mitbachaya Dochein, the liquids found in the Beis HaMikdash, they are all considered Tohar. And thirdly, Al-Dikar Lemesa Mesav, one who contacts a dead person becomes Tam. V'kara Le Yosef Shari, they called him Yosef the Permitter. Let's go back and analyze these items one by one. My Ail Kamtza, what is this grasshopper all about? What does he look like? What's unique about him? Rapapa Amar Shashiva, he's called a Shashiva, who has a very long neck. Rav Chiya Bar Ami Mishmeder Ula Amar, he says, no, it was a suspil, different type of grasshopper. Now, what was the issue with these grasshoppers? What was the shiloh? Rav Papa Amar Shashiva, it was the long-headed one, long-necked one. V'kamiflik the machlegir, ten Yosef ben Ezra, and his attractors are whether it has the required features to indicate that it's a kosher species. Baroisha Aruch, the question is regarding a long-necked grasshopper. Ma'asavar Reisha Aruch Asur. One holds that it's Asur. Ma'asavar he held Reisha Aruch is Mutim. Rashi explains because really in the Torah we only have some indication. We have a couple of names of grasshoppers: Arbe, Salam, Chargal, Chagav. We have to sort of deduce from them what features are critical to indicate kosher grasshopper. And interestingly, none of them have the long neck. So that was the reason why this would be Asr, according to one sheet, whereas Ben Yezer held that, no, you include others as well, based on the idea of klal prato klal, as long as it's somewhat similar to those mentioned in the Torah, has four legs, four wings, etc., that's enough. Even though it's a long leg, it's a long-necked grasshopper, it's okay. Rav Chiya Bar Amim Shemed Ula Amar, it wasn't this type of grasshopper. It was something called a susvil, who has a regular neck, not a very long neck. So Bereisha Aruch Kulam Lepligi the Aser, because if it would have a long neck, all agree it's Aser. There's no question, because it doesn't compare to the types mentioned in the Torah. So what was the issue? It had these wings, which barely covered most of its body. V'ach here bechnof of its wings chayfenes rubai. Covered most of his body, but barely. Ideat chak. It wasn't so discernibly raiv. That's the machlekes. Mar savar, ruba kol dubinan. So one holds that as long as it's a bit over the 50 mark, that's okay, even if it's not substantially roiv. Umar savar, ruba dubinan. The other shita holds that in order for it to be considered a proper. Wing, a proper kanaf, it has to cover most of the grasshopper in a visible, substantial way. Rashi says, Roiv hanira le'inayim. It has to be visibly roiv, otherwise it doesn't qualify. Okay, next item was, Valmashka Beis Mitbachaya Dochein. So we have the liquids found in the Beis HaMikdash. They're considered tahar. Even if they came into contact with something which is impure, it doesn't matter. They're resistant. They're protected from tumah. Now, to what extent? My dochen. Well, how do we define the word dochen? Rav Amar dochen mamish. As is. Okay, so the waters, etc., used in the Beis HaMikdash are not susceptible to tumah, period. Ushmul Amar, no. He said, it's in a limited form. Dochen, it's Torah melatame acherim. So if they became tummy, they do not pass it on to others. So we keep the tumah sort of confined and limited. Aval tumas atzmon yesh ben, but if they themselves became tummy, certainly they can receive tumah. So what's this machlokes about? Rav Savar Dachin Mamash. Rav holds their Torah throughout, because Savar, he holds Tumas Mashkin Derabbanon. So the Torah, which speaks about food items becoming tummy, that's limited to solids, not to liquids. Period. So it's only with the Rabbanon that we apply Tumah to liquids. V'chigaz Rabbanon Tumah b'mashkin. Yeah, and when the Rabbanon consider it mashkin, susceptible to Tumah, the Alma. That's your typical liquid outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ava b'mashk, b'im b'chaya, l'gaz, but in the Beis HaMikdash, in order to retain the Tumah, to limit it, to keep the Beis HaMikdash tahor, did not introduce Tumas Mashkin at all in the Beis HaMikdash. Look at Rabban. Shmuel Amar Shmuel disagrees. He says the Mashkin's ability to become Tamei, that's Min HaTorah, based on the Pasuk, that you cannot do away with, irrespective of where you are, right? It's only the second element of imparting Tumah to others, transferring to the next item, that they can cancel, because that was only Mid Rabbanon, and they suspended that in the Beis HaMikdash. So again, Shmuel Amar Dochin Mil Tam Acher, it's Torah from contributing to others and passing it on to another item. Avatumas Atzman Yishman, but if the Mashkin themselves, in terms of themselves, of course they become Tamei. Because he holds Kosavra, Tumas Mashkin Dereis. We have a source in the Torah that in fact Mashkin can become Tamei. So you can't do away with that, even in the Mikdash. L'tame Acher, yeah, to pass on the Tumah from the Mashkin to others, that's only with the Rabbanon, Chigaz Rabbanon. Rabbanon only applied the Gzeira of Mashkin to Alma, a typical standard situation in Mashkin B'chai, but in the Beis HaMikdash, like God, they didn't apply it. So in any case, Yosef ben Ezer testified that Mashkin, the Beis HaMikdash, is Torah. To what extent? That's Rav and Shmuel. Third item was, V'adiyikrav l'misa misav. If one comes into contact with a mace, he becomes Tamei. So, V'kari l'Yosef Sharia, because of these three leniencies, they gave him a title, Yosef the Matir. So first, the obvious question is, the third item is not a leniency at all. In fact, you're becoming Tamei because you... Second question is, everybody knows, you know, the Psukim and the Torah teach us that. Why did we need Yosef ben Ezer to get up and testify that if one comes into contact with a mace, he becomes Tamei? It's an obvious fact learned in the Chumash, coming up in a couple of weeks, right? In Parshas Chukas, Parshas Parah, right? So firstly, Yosef, Asher Boile, why call him Yosef Sharia? Due to these three, specifically the third item, that's a Chumrah, Yosef Asher Boile. You should have called him Yosef the strict one. Void further, Modai Raisi. We know that already from the Pasuk. If one touches a mace, he becomes Tamei. What's the big news? The answer is Dairaisa. In the Torah, we only find the Yikrav Tamei, one who touches a mace. Yeah, he becomes Tamei. What if you touch somebody else? So Shimon touches Reuben, who touched the mace. The Yikrav, be the Yikrav Tar. If you touch somebody else who touched the mace, you're Tar. Vasa Inu, Vigazar. And then the Chachamim later on came and applied a Tumah to Shimon as well. One who touches the one who touched. And Vasayu came, Yosef ben Ezer says, no, I want to cancel that added component. And he restored it back to the original din that we find in the Torah. Then only Reuben, who actually touched the mace, becomes Tamei. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? The Yikrav with the Yikrav. Shimon who touched Reuben who touched the mace, Nami Dairaisu. It's also on the Pasuk that he becomes Tamei. Right? So secondhand Tumah is also. Yitma. So the Tamei is the first fellow, Reuben who touched the mace. Anybody that Tamei now touches, which means to say, Shimon who came into contact with Reuben is also Yitma. So clearly, secondhand Tumah is also Tamei Min HaTayra. The answer is Amru Rabban Kamed Rava. So Rabban explained to Rava in front of Rava, Mishmei de Marzutra, Bray de Rav Nachman. The name of Marzutra, the son of Rav Nachman, who quoted his father, Dami Mishmei de Rav Nachman. Let me explain to you what's going on. Strictly speaking, in the Psukim we find the Iraisa, we find the Yikrav, which means to say Shimon, who's touching Reuben, who's touching the maze, Bichiburin, while he's still touching the maze. Yeah, that conducts the Tumah onward to Shimon as well. Tumas, Shiva. So now, just as Reuben attains a very high level of Tumah Tumas Shiva, he's talking for 7 full days, he has to be, get the Paraduma waters, right? Likewise, Shimon, who is currently touching Reuven while conducting the Tumah from the maize, he too acquires that very severe Tumah. Shaloi b'chibur, but let's say, Reuven is already disengaged from the maize, and now comes into contact with Shimon. Sure, he transfers some Tumah to Shimon, but it's not a direct conductor, and therefore, Shaloi b'chibur, Tumas Erev, Shimon gets a limited type of Tumah, a one-day Tumah till evening. That's in the pasuk. V'asa inu, came the Chachamim later on, and they said, you know what, we don't want to confuse things, keep things simple and straightforward. Whether Reuven is actually still touching the maize while Shimon comes into contact with Reuven, or he's already disengaged, it doesn't matter. Even if Reuven is no longer actively touching the maize, Tumah Shiva, he will transfer Tumah to Shimon on the highest form. Came along, Yosef Ben Ezra says, no, it's going too far. Shimon is only Tumah, a lighter type of Tumah, Tumas Erev. Asks the Gemara, Deiraisa Mahi. So you're saying this concept is found in the Torah, where? The Chsiv. Pasuk says, Hanageh b'meis, l'chol nefesh adam, v'tameh shivas yomim. Right, if a fellow is touching the maize, he's Tumah for 7 days. Uksiv, and it says, he can turn around and touch somebody else, and sort of infect him with that Tumah as well. Uksiv, v'chlash yigwe atameh yitma. Anybody that the tummy touches becomes tummy. We assume he attains the same level of Tumah, Tumas Shiva. So on the one pasuk, on the one hand, this pasuk indicates that the transfer of Tumah to Shimon is on the highest scale. And then we find a different pasuk, which indicates that it's mitigated somewhat. It's only a one-day Tumah to Shimon. Uksiv ha-nefesh ha-negas, titma da'arev, only tummy till evening. So which one is it? Is it a full-fledged transfer or only a partial transfer? Okay, it must be. That depends if he's actively conducting the Tumah, if he's actually still in contact with the Maser or not. Okay, it's at Kan b'chibur, when the Pasuk says that Shimon is tummy for 7 days, that's because he touched Reuven while still touching the Maser. So it's sort of conducting over to Shimon directly. Kan shalab b'chibur, and the other Pasuk which says that Shimon only acquires a limited Tumah, it's when Reuven is no longer touching the Maser. So that's v'nat Torah. The Chachamim came and applied the severe status to both situations, and Yosef ben Ezer restored it to the original format. And this was all presented to Rava in the name of Rav Nachman. Amulu Rava, Rava responded to them. He wasn't very happy. Haven't I already told you in the past, don't blame, untrue things on Rav Nachman. Don't attribute these things to Rav Nachman. Lava Minin Lechu, I've already told you in the past, Leititlubei, don't hang up on him. Buki, these containers, shriki, empty containers, these useless things, Rav Nachman, don't blame these things on him. That's it's not coming from him. He disagreed with this. Pshat, he says, actually, I'm going to tell you, what's going on. In the name of Rav Nachman, I have a quote from Rav Nachman to explain the sequence of events. He wasn't talking about conductors, etc. Safek Tumah b'shesiram hiter lahem. Yosef ben Ezer's chiddush was that if one encounters a situation where he's in the street, he's in public, and he's unsure of whether he touched something which is tummy, he has a safek Tumah that occurred b'shesiram. It's okay, just keep on going, ignore it. As opposed to a suffolk tumor that occurs in private, and if you say yachid, there you have to fear the worst, you have to consider yourself tummy. That's all he was doing. Yosef ben Ezer was mat hitelen a suffolk tumor shusarab. Ask the Gemara, that's old news. That halacha has already been learned from the Saita story where we have to fear the worst until she drinks the waters to verify her status because she went to seclusion with this strange man. So we learn, Ma Soita Shusayachid, just like over there, we're speaking that it was in private, in which case it triggers this serious concern and she's treated as a Tameh unless she can purify and verify her status. Aftum Shusayachid, likewise, any type of tumah uncertainty that occurs in Rosh Hashanah Yachid is treated as such, as opposed to something which occurs in the street, in the public. So this halacha is already well known, well established from years back. What was Yosef when he had there was big news? Answers the Gemara. Yeah, academically, you know, in theory, the halacha is in fact true, but practically, we up until now we try to keep it under wraps, not to publicize it, lest people come to sort of disregard, you know, tumah and take it lightly. But didn't Rabbi Yechon teach us halacha? True, it's a bona fide halacha. A suffix, tumah in the street is deemed tahar. Vein marin came, we don't publicize it. Vasa'iyu va'ayri le'aruye. Came Yeshiva and Ezra says, you know what? Let's not keep it private. Let's publicize it. It's important for everybody to know. There's no reason to be strict on this. And that, in fact, was the third item on his list. Right? So when the Gemara mentioned the Lashon, adiyikra v'mesa, l'mesa, if one comes into contact with a mace, it becomes tummy. What he meant to say was, only if it certainly happened, but if there was a suffix involved, then if you're in the street, you're safe. And that capped the list of three items of heter, three heterim that he issued, and that's why he got this title, Yosei Sharia, right? Tani Namihoch, we find the same in a braisa, that in fact he was involved in disseminating this information, that a suffix tumah in the street is different than in private. Rabbi Daimer, Kairitz, Noatz Lem. He planted these beams, these indicators. V'amar, he said, look, Adkan Rosh Hashanah, Adkan Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You should know, Rosh Hashanah is up until these pegs, past which is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So you know, if something happened on this side, you're safe, on this side, right? Kiyasu L'kamed Rabbi Yanai. Interestingly, when these types of uncertainties, people who were uncertain whether they touched a tumah in the street, came to Rav Yanai with a question of what to do. Amar Li says, look, why bother deliberating? Go take a quick dip. Hamaya, there's still water, but she ka'ata on the dip inside the pit, the benhara of the rivers, that has like a mikveh there. Go quickly, get a dip, you'll be refreshed, you'll be pure, you'll know that you're certainly tahar. Zilu, tvailu, go take a tvila. So the Mefarshim explained that, of course, it's only a chumrah, because if you can get away from the suffix, why bother? But if you touch something, of course, the person is considered tahar, even before he used tevel, that's the halacha. Suffix, tumah v'shesarabim, is tahar. V'hash, lakis. Okay, we're back to that list in the Mishnah. Item is produced by a goy, which are considered off-limits for us, one of which is called shlakis. And it means to say, foods cooked by a goy. Rashi Tosfos says, shlokes, he in yonei tafshel, any type of dish cooked by a goy. So again, the point is to keep a distance, to avoid social interaction, which might lead to further interaction, might lead to intermarriage, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Menon emili, so initially the Gemara figured it's menat Torah. We have a source in the Pasuk to disallow goyish cooked food. Amar b'chir bar abba, amar b'yechanan, amar krov, we have a Pasuk. When Moshe Rabbeinu tried to strike a deal with Sichon, Melech Moiri, Melech Cheshbon, come, we want to walk, go through the area, you'll supply us with food, we'll be your best customers. Amakro, Eichel, Bakesef, Tashbireini, you'll charge me for your food, Vachalti, Umayim, and water, Bakesef didn't leave Shasisi, you'll charge me and I'll drink. And of course, he turned down the offer, and etc., right? So this Pasuk, which mentions food and water, allows for this correlation, this connection. And we say like this, Kamayim, the food that a Yid can consume from a goy is only if it's comparable to water, unchanged, in its original form, right? Just like water, always stays water. Ma'amayim shel nishtano, just like the water that he offered to buy from the goyim is unchanged. Af oichel shel nishtano, likewise, the food only if it was unchanged, otherwise it would be asur. Well, if it's about being unchanged, then what if you elamata, you buy chitin, vasan kleyas, you have wheat kernels that the guy turned into kleyas, he roasted them, he puffed them, It underwent a change. Hachanami da asurin. Do you mean to say a yid cannot consume that type of food? Perhaps you'll say, yeah. The Brisa says otherwise. Vatanya. Brisa says, chitin wasan kleis mutar. If the guy made you puff wheat, you can eat it. Elokamai. Rather, the connection to water is a slightly different connection. We'll present the formula a bit different. It's not a question of changed or not changed. Even if it's slightly changed, it's okay. As long as it's still retaining its original form, which puffed wheat has. So that's okay. But if it's totally altered, you can't have it from the goy. So the connection is to the water, ma'amayim shel nishtan b'riyos, just like the water didn't change from its original form, af oichel shel nishtan b'riyos, likewise food, which was not altered from its original form. Okay, but let's say the guy grinds your wheat. That's a serious alteration. Elameata, so if that's the case, chitin v'tachna, chanami da'asurin, if the guy grinds your wheat. Chitin v'tachna, he takes wheat, grinds it, and sells you flour. It's no good. Chitin v'chanami, do you mean to say that's true? Batani, we have the brisa, which is the same as the previous brisa. Chitin v'asan kloyois. So we discussed that. Or hakmachim v'aslase shalahem. Their flowers, their mutarim, that's okay. Ella, you're right. We have to modify our formula just a little bit more. We compare everything to water. Kemayim. Ma'amayim shel nishtanu mibriyos na'ideh ur, just like water. It was not transformed from its original form by way of fire. So even if you cook it, it may burn out some bacteria or germs, but it's still going to stay the same water. Af oichel shel nishtanu mibriyos na'ideh ur, likewise. If you want to eat their food, strictly those that would not change from their form through fire, through cooking, through heat. The puff wheat is pretty much unchanged. Ground flour, ground wheat, wasn't changed by way of fire. It did not undergo a cooking process. So the only thing that's off limits is something which was transformed by way of cooking. Really, where do we find any indication of cooking in this pasuk? It just says water and midi urksiv. Where do we find any indication of this cooking, you know, criterion? He writes, says the Gemara, apparently it's not based on the pasuk el midrabanan. The issue of eating bishul akim is midrabanan. Ukras machta ba'alman. The pasuk that we brought was just sort of a support, a hint to this issue rabanan. So what is this rabanan based on? So Rashi says on the top line, shelo yehi yisrael ragel etzloi b'machal v'mishta, to avoid interacting food-wise with a goy. V'achalenu davar tamid, is a concern that he might feed you something on kosher. Tesis brings, it's actually a Rashi in the Mishnah, the Chuvtes as well, mishum chasnas, it can engender closeness, and, you know, intermarriage. So this is sort of a barrier to keep the distance. And tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we're going to elaborate on this further, when Bishul Akam applies, what type of foods, and what type of format, as we're going to see Bez Hashem tomorrow. Okay, in a nutshell, we had a bunch of threes today. We had the three different types of expressions, different types of forms of words used when issuing a get. It's yours now, but it's going to only be activated if something happens. So that has to wait until it happens. On the other end, if he says it's yours on condition that something happens, it's effective immediately when that condition takes place. And then we have the in-between type of expression, which is sort of arbitrary, which is given to Machlekes. Going to Rabbi Yossi. The Zman on the get, on the shtar, indicates that it's effective immediately on condition, which is the Shita that Rabbi Yossi followed. That's why he was matur this type of get. Okay, then we had the three items of Yossi ben Yezer, the grasshopper, the mashkin, and the Beis HaMikdash, which are deemed Torah. Whether Rav's explanation or Shmuel's explanation. Then we have the conclusion was that he was mata the Suffolk Tumah B'Shitsa Rabim for all to know. It was something publicized, but according to the last point in the Gemara, Rabbi Yana still was strict on that and would send them quickly to the mikveh to avoid any uncertainties. And we started the Sugi of Shlokos, which is Midrabanan, to keep that distance and keep that spiritual safety. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.